Your financial choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening. This is Lori Siebert, your host of Your Financial Choices. I'm a CPA, CFP professional, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. You can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org or on the WDIY app. And programs of prior shows are also available there under Public Affairs at, again, wdiy.org or on the website yourfinancialchoices.com. Today's August 17th, 2022. The markets were down today with the Dow closing at 33,980, the NASDAQ at 12,938, and the S&P at 4,274. Tonight, I'm talking about retirement benefit options and a little bit about the income in retirement as well. We'll see how far we get. We are live tonight. We'll take your questions. Eric is in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic. I'll do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And you can talk live on air with me. Or if you're not comfortable talking live, just give your question to Eric and he'll write it down and he'll bring it in to me. But I love when people, you know, talk. So be brave. Again, if you have questions, 610-758-8810. And you can also submit questions through the website, yourfinancialchoices.com. Tonight, again, we are talking about retirement benefit options. So what do I mean by this, retirement benefit options? When you're entering the job market and you're considering job prospects, I suggest that you also factor in what kind of retirement benefits a prospective employer may offer you. Now, I have talked about this on previous shows when you're job hunting, how you have to consider all of the factors in a job or a job offer. You know, either make a list or put it on an Excel spreadsheet. You want to say what kind of salary are the various employers or opportunities offering. It's not just salary. It could be job promotion opportunities. It could be vacation time. It could be work flexibility. It could be your travel time, overtime. Are they going to pay you or not, depending on what kind of position you have? And of course, now what most people like is the ability to work remotely as well. So you want to factor all of that in to any decision that you're making. But the retirement benefit is something that could, you know, really make a difference in evaluating the whole package, I would say, of an opportunity that you might have. This isn't just for people who are seeking out new employment. I'm just mentioning that this is something that should come into consideration for that. For people who are already working, you need to understand what retirement benefit options are available to you now and pay attention if an employer might change what retirement benefit options they may offer you over time. You need to understand what the options are today or how they may change, you know, as businesses evolve and as retirement options evolve as well. So when we think of retirement plans and saving for retirement, often for quite a few of us, we think of a 401k plan. And when I say 401k, there's also 403bs. Those are actually internal revenue code sections for what we call employer retirement benefit plans. 401k is typically, you know, your corporate employer. 403b has traditionally been your nonprofits, kind of government type of plans. The Pension Protection Act, I think, of 2006 kind of brought those really in line with each other. So they're very similar contribution limits and, you know, management of 401ks and 403bs. Very similar nowadays, but that is a bit of the differentiating factor. So we're kind of typically thinking maybe bigger employers have those. Some of our smaller employers don't offer 401ks. They might offer, or 403bs, they might offer something like a simple plan, or sometimes they don't offer a plan at all. So you have to understand what your options are. Is it the employer's responsibility, your responsibility, or could both of you be contributing? So in the past, you might have parents, depending on how old you are, who retire and live on a pension. They might have a pension and Social Security. And I'll talk about Social Security in a bit. I already talked about Social Security last week. So if you missed that show, you can go on to, you know, either the WDIY website or your Financial Choices website to listen to those. But you're paying into the system for Social Security through your payroll. So that's how we get a Social Security benefit eventually. But typically when we're talking about a retirement plan through an employer, we're talking about 401ks, 403bs, but for people who are working today. But many of us or our parents have pension plans. And a pension plan is what we call a defined benefit plan. So here's where there's a little bit of definition that I think will help inform the rest of our discussion this evening. A defined benefit plan, think, is a pension because it's a defined benefit, meaning over the years you've been working for a company, one of the benefits that they offered you was a pension plan, and the employer paid into this retirement bucket for their employees that after they worked X number of years, retired at X age, and made X amount of dollars, there's a formula based on your life expectancy and the value that you accrued by all these formulas over time. There's a bucket of money for you when you retire. And with that bucket, they say, here's what we're going to pay you per month. It is a defined amount, a defined benefit. So a pension plan is a defined benefit plan that has typically been funded by the employer over time. They're making the contributions to it. And then when you retire, you're eligible for various options that you can take. And I'll talk about that in a little bit when we talk about income in retirement as to the various benefit options you could have on that pension. I'm just going to make a little note, pension options. I want to make sure I talk about that. So the pension is a defined benefit. Now, I mentioned 401ks and 403bs. That is a defined contribution plan. And the IRS gives us guidance on how much we can contribute to it. So defined benefit, the employer's paying a benefit monthly. That's typically fixed. It's rarely a cost of living adjustment. And then the 401k and 403bs, it's by, you know, tax regulations, IRS rules. We can only put in so much between the employee and the employer. That's called a defined contribution plan. And so we're going to talk a little bit about the difference between the defined benefit and the defined contribution plan and how you need to be aware of the differences and whether you qualify for one or the other or perhaps both. And then we're also going to talk about some different plans that we'll have for self-employed people or individuals who don't otherwise have the opportunity to participate in an employer plan. We'll also talk about ESOPs and employee stock purchase plans and a little bit about Social Security. Folks, you are listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8255. 8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100 or WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with me, or if you're not comfortable talking live, give your question to Eric. He'll write it down and bring it in. Again, 610-758-8810. We're talking about retirement benefits. So I mentioned the difference between defined benefit, which is a pension typically, and defined contribution, which is usually what we see with larger employers who have 401ks. It could be smaller employers too, but sometimes it's administratively difficult for a smaller employer to offer a 401k, so they might offer a plan that might be cheaper for them to offer something like a simple IRA. So defined contribution plan is what we refer to for a 401k and a 403b. Now, some of the differences with pensions, the employer's putting in, the defined contribution plans, the employees and sometimes the employer is putting in. Sometimes the employees don't have to put in. So we can talk about that too. But the defined benefit, the pension plans, we really don't see them as much. You heard me say earlier that typically, you know, maybe your parents or your grandparents are living on a pension. We're not seeing that as much. It, you know, over the years, employers complain that it was, you know, administratively burdensome for them to continue to fund a pension when people were living longer. They had to manage these plans, hunt down these people, make these pension payments, and they may not have invested it in such a way to provide the stream of income they had promised to pay, that defined benefit, when people were living 30 years and maybe the actuarial, you know, calculations had expected they were only going to live 18 years. So you could see where people could run into hiccups with that. So we have seen a lot of pensions convert to like cash balance plans. Quite often you'll see that employers will say, when you leave employment, rather than take that pension, how about we offer you a lump sum option? So quite often, if you were working for a company or are working for a company that does offer a pension, quite often more and more I'm seeing they're offering lump sum options. And in that situation, you would have the decision of, rather than taking a monthly amount, you could take that lump sum. Now, if you took that lump sum, it would be 100% income taxable, but you are allowed to roll that over into an IRA. It's called a rollover IRA. So you could roll over the pension into an IRA and take it as a lump sum. And then over time, you can take out the amount that you decide you want. You might not need that, you know, $4,000 a month, whatever they had calculated at this time. Maybe you want to save it and use it later. Maybe you still have a spouse who's working. Maybe you just don't need that much money. So you can control the distribution from that rollover more than you might be able to do the monthly pension. Now, if you're someone who spends every penny you get, then rolling over a pension to an IRA may not be a good idea for you. You might be someone who likes the discipline of receiving a monthly pension amount. So you really, really have to do a lot of careful consideration when you do have this opportunity to decide between taking that monthly pension or taking a lump sum. So if you are working for an employer or have the opportunity to work for an employer that has a pension, you might want to understand what your pension options are. So I can talk more about the lump sum as I go later in the show, because that is where I'm going to talk about kind of how you plan these retirement benefits once you retire to help with your cash flow. Okay, so pension, defined benefit, pension is monthly defined amount, pension may offer the ability to take it out as a lump sum when you retire. And there's a formula and calculation, and it's based on interest rates and life expectancy at that time. Now, so an employer might have the pension and a 401k. So it's not one or the other. Typically, we also have a 401k, particularly for an employer that has a pension plan. Usually those are bigger corporations, bigger companies, and they generally will also be offering that 401k. So you might have the opportunity to have both. Certain corporations who will kind of retire the pension plan, meaning what they'll do is current employees may still be eligible for it and still participate in it, but new employees, new hires may not. Or some employers will say to their employees, hey, we're going to give you the option to either continue into the pension plan, or you can freeze your benefit today, and we're going to put more into your 401k. We'll put an employer extra percentages into the 401k if you choose to freeze your future growth on your pension. So this is where I'm saying, when you get information from your employer, if they're changing benefits, you really want to pay attention, because it could benefit you or hurt you, or depending on your circumstances and situation. So there are times where you can have a pension and a 401k. You can have someone who has a frozen pension and gets extra in their 401k, or someone who just says, you know what, I don't want to take the extra in the 401k, I'm just going to stick with my pension, but still participate in the 401k that, you know, is a separate plan. So as far as defined contribution plans, I'm going to now just say 401k, and it's going to encompass 403b, okay? So I don't have to say both through the rest of the hour. So when we have an employer plan that's a defined contribution plan, typically the employee, after possibly a certain period of time they work, sometimes they have to work a year, sometimes they have to be full-time or work a certain amount of hours, sometimes you're eligible to participate immediately. So each employer can have their own plan provisions, and it's called a summary plan document. And, you know, you really might not have access to this until you get hired, or I'm sure HR would discuss it with you if you're weighing the benefits of, you know, the various options you may be entitled to should you take this job. So the summary plan document, or the summary plan description, will detail the provisions of that particular employer's plan, what they've adopted. So let's say you can participate. Now, if you could participate, then the IRS says that there is a defined amount that you can contribute. So for 401ks, for, you know, I'm going to call it a qualified plan, it's $20,500 for the year. If you're 50 or over, there's an additional $6,500 that you can do. And they instituted that several years ago to help retirees catch up, because quite often when you start working, you may not be able to afford to put the maximum amount in a 401k, but as you get hit your stride in your career and you're making a lot more money when you're getting, you know, a little bit older, once you're over 50, maybe the kids are out of the house, you have a little bit more money, they allow this catch up. So once you're 50 or over, you can do a $6,500 catch up. So total for 2022, the defined contribution amount that an employee can put into one of these 401ks or 403bs is $27,000. Now, there is an overall cap as well that the IRS institutes, because remember I said the employer can put some money in as well. And so there's an overall cap between the employee and the employer. That would be very important for people who have more than one plan to be aware of, all right? And if you're self-employed and have your own plan, really important numbers. Folks, we are at our second break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And if you'd like to talk live or ask a question live on air, you can give your question to Eric. If you don't want to talk live on air, give your question to Eric and he can bring it in to me. So again, 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
This is Rick Weaver, host of Celtic Fair here on WDIY. Membership helps ensure your favorite programs stay on the air. Shane from Bethlehem recently renewed his membership and said, "Celtic Fair is a great music program. Keep it up." Thanks for the words of support, Shane. We appreciate it. Join Shane and become a WDIY member today. Visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 4. Thank you.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. You can also listen to podcasts or prior shows through WDIY.org or through YourFinancialChoices.com, where you can also submit questions, which I will answer privately, you know, via email. We are talking about retirement benefit options this evening. If you have questions, happy to talk with you live, 610-758-8810. If you're not comfortable talking live, you can give your question to Eric. He'll write it down and bring it in to me. Again, 610-758-8810. So we're talking about the differences between pensions and defined contribution plans like 401ks and 403bs. Just one other note with pensions. I had already mentioned that, you know, we're kind of seeing those go by the wayside. I had done a quick comparison of some Department of Labor statistics on defined contribution plans and defined benefit plans, and I was actually surprised the numbers weren't more skewed, but it looked like comparing between 2009 to 2019, if I interpreted the stats correctly, it seemed that defined benefit plans barely increased, like barely. I don't think it was even 1%. So it's about the same number of pension defined benefit plans. While defined contribution plans increased 4%. And again, I didn't think that was, and I'm talking about like number of plans, not dollars. I'm talking about number of plans. So I was actually surprised that we didn't see more defined contribution plans, but it is obvious that we don't see defined benefit plans growing. So just be aware that as you work, that you're going to be more and more responsible for contributing to your own retirement fund than your employer may have in the past. So when we talk about defined benefit, I said the employer's contributing. For the defined contribution, the employee is contributing, and some employees may choose not to contribute. Now, there has been various legislation that kind of suggests or promotes kind of automatic enrollment and automatic contributions. I actually don't even keep that in my brain, so I know that it's out there, but I don't exactly know all the numbers, but it is trying to encourage people to save for retirement. But outside those kinds of guidelines, an employee can choose to contribute, and that is unless you opt out. So you can opt out of that typically. But an employee can contribute to a retirement account, a qualified plan through work, through payroll deduction. And typically you can change that periodically. Some plans, again, going back to that summary plan description, some plans will say you can only change it, you know, quarterly or at open enrollment. But most of the plans today, you can kind of change, you know, frequently. So you can say, I want to contribute 10% of my paycheck, or I want to contribute 3% of my paycheck. I want to contribute 1% of my paycheck, whatever you feel you can contribute. What does that get you? It gets you contributing to a retirement plan, which you can access when you retire, because Social Security is not going to be enough money. So you want to start saving for your retirement before you get used to having money so you can contribute. Now, why else might you contribute? Why else might you contribute to this plan? Not just a good idea for you to save. Couple other reasons. One, often the employer will do a match, meaning if you put in 3%, they might put in 3%. Or maybe if you put in 6%, they put in 3%. That's one of those retirement benefits you want to make sure you understand when you accept employment or if you're currently employed. Am I missing out on the match? Match is free money, folks. The match is free money. They're giving it to you. I mean, it's going to be taxed at some point, but they are giving you that money. So just be aware of that, that you want to make sure that you're getting the match. Peter, we have a caller on line one, I assume. We have Tom from Hellertown. Tom, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hi, how are you?
How are you doing?
I'm good. How can I help you?
Well, here's my question, okay, because I'm not a super young person, but I work with several young people.
Mm-hmm.
And my suggestion to them is that they should participate in the 401k that's offered by the company I work for.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think their comeback is, well, Murph, right now, they say, the market is really bad. So if I put $200 in now, mm-hmm. and a month later that $200 is only worth $150,
mm-hmm.
they're at it and say, hey, I just put that $200 in saving for my retirement, but I just lost $50 over the last month.
Mm-hmm.
So is there a downside to putting money in a 401k where you could actually lose money over the long haul? And I think the answer is, that over the long haul, once the market, say the markets are dipping,
mm-hmm.
I think when they rebound 2-3 years down the road,
right,
the money that you have invested is not going to go to waste. In other words, that money is going to rebound right with the market.
Mm-hmm. Right. And Tom, that's great. And that's great that you're helping kind of guide these young people who may not realize the benefits of saving for retirement. Yes, the market might go up and down. And yes, they have to be ready for that volatility. But over time, we have learned historically that the market does go up. So we use an analogy often at work that we say, imagine an escalator. And a child is going up the escalator with a yo-yo. So as the child's going up the escalator with the yo-yo is volatility that we may experience. But over time, historically, the market is going up just like that escalator. And to the extent of risk that they take, the escalator could be more steep or less steep. So they want to understand and work within their own risk tolerance, meaning can they tolerate a little bit of that up and down? When you're young and you're not used to making money yet, to me, that is a great opportunity to kind of start saving right away before you're used to having that money. So yes, saving for retirement, number one benefit. Number two benefit, if you're invested over time, historically, the market does provide returns based on someone's risk tolerance. The more risk you take, you're hoping for a better premium. It doesn't always work that way, but you try. The third benefit, Tom, is they may get a tax deduction because if they're doing a 401k with pre-tax dollars, they're avoiding or they're deferring the income tax. So they actually get a little bit more to invest that way by deferring the tax. Now, if they're in a very low income tax bracket, I might say they could also do maybe the Roth feature if your employer provides the Roth feature because they might not need the tax benefit. Now they've got something growing tax-free. So to your point that, yeah, it might go down now, but if we follow market cycles and it goes back up in that three-year period, then they may benefit, and they may benefit on a tax-free basis if they did the Roth. So you want to check out both of those. And then, of course, the match. If there's an employer match, you definitely want to check that out. That is free money. So, Tom, I hope that I gave you a few tips to give them. And I thank you for your question. We have to go to a break. Did we lose Tom? But Tom, thanks so much.
No.
Oh, there you are. Okay, I wanted to make sure. Did that help, Tom?
No, it's very helpful. It's very, okay. I think it kind of affirms my original understanding.
Uh-huh. Well, that's great, Tom. And you can tell them to, you know, listen to the show if they want to learn more about it. I think it's a great opportunity, and they should be open to the education that you're trying to help give them.
Well, I appreciate it, and your show's great. It gives me insight every time I listen. So,
wonderful. Thank you so much, Tom. Have a good night. Folks, we are at the halfway point. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can talk live with me, as Tom from Hellertown did, or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, just give your question to Eric. He'll write it down and bring it in to me. Again, 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Welcome back. Folks, if you have questions, phone number is 610-758-8810. Questions could also be submitted through yourfinancialchoices.com. Eric's here to take your question. If you are not comfortable talking live on air, you can write it down and bring it in to me, 610-758-8810. And I want to tag on to something that Tom had brought up for people who were, you know, maybe making an excuse as to why not to go into saving for retirement if they're worried about the market. When you have a 401k or a 403b, typically you also are given investment options that you can choose to go into. So if you are making these contributions monthly, and sometimes the employer will do it, it doesn't even have to be a match. There's something called the Safe Harbor Plan, where an employer automatically puts in typically like 3% for the employees, and the employee doesn't even have to put anything in. But most often we see the match, and the employers are doing some type of match, and they can change that. They're not always locked into that. Another kind of contribution that an employer may do is something called a profit sharing piece. After they kind of settle the books, if there's a profit, they may or may not, typically it's discretionary, may or may not put in more money as a part of a profit sharing. But typically the employee is making the investment option. So that's very different than the pension I described earlier. Remember, I said employers were responsible for the pension, they had to invest it, they had to make sure the money lasted. Well, now with 401ks and you making the contribution to the plan, and maybe the employer putting something in, you also have responsibility for picking the investments. Now, your investments may be a limited menu because the employer does have to typically administer the plan, have a trustee for the plan, and give you some type of asset allocation that different employees can allocate, maybe more conservative, more aggressive, something to fit an array of different investment styles. So for some people who may be nervous about investing in their retirement account because they're worried about the market, you might be able to do a target date fund where you pick a fund that's set for, you know, retirement in 40 years or 20 years if you don't want to ever have to think about it. Typically, when we're talking about 401ks and for the long run, if we're starting early, it's kind of a set it and forget it, and it just, you know, grows and grows. You have to remember to kind of go back and revisit that asset allocation because your attitudes toward investing might have changed over time, or as you're getting closer to retirement, you may or may not want to get more conservative. So don't actually set it and forget it completely. Set and forget the saving part, but don't set and forget the investing part. So keep that in mind. You want to be responsible for the investment selections and how that fits in with your own risk tolerance and time frame, et cetera. Now, I've mentioned employer plans. I've mentioned employer matching. What if you're self-employed? If you're self-employed, if you're a sole proprietor with no employees, you can have your own 401k too. And when I talked about defined contribution, remember earlier I said, 401k at work, I can put in $20,500, $6,500 catch up. If I'm self-employed, I can do the employer part and I can do, the employee part, but I also can do an employer part, which is a profit sharing part, which I'll talk about in just a minute. But right now I have Denise from Palmerton on the line. Denise, can you hear me okay?
Yes, this is Denise.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, okay, a little nervous. I'm talking on live.
Oh, this will be fun. Go ahead. What? I love questions.
Okay. All right. So we just our work that I work for. We have a pension plan that we have to roll over into something because of taxes. So at this one time, we're able to take a partial or all out and put the rest into something like an IRA.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 60 years old, and I'm questioning, like, tax-wise, am I in a higher bracket? Is that the right word
mm-hmm.
I'm looking for?
Mm-hmm.
Say if I would take, like, you know, just throw $30,000 out or something like
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Would I lose a lot more money by the taxes?
Well,
instead of rolling it over?
Yeah, it kind of depends on your situation. So there actually is a number of little comments that you just laid out that might make a difference. So in kind of talking it through a little bit, and I love that you're thinking it through, Denise, because as I say at the end of every show, be proactive, not reactive, because if you're proactive in your decisions before you make them, you have more options. Whereas if you just make a decision and do it, now we can't always fix it. So if you're talking about a pension and you said you have some options, you could do a partial rollover or take some out. I just want to give you an example, and it may not apply, but I want to give you an example. Our teachers have what's called a PEESRS, which is the public, you know, the Pennsylvania State Retirement Employee System. And when they go to retire, they're able to take some of their original contributions out, which they could roll over into an IRA. They could take them out and pay tax on it. And then the balance they could keep as a pension. Okay, so that's one kind of a pension where someone might have three different options as to how to pay it out. They could take, roll some of it over to an IRA, keep some of it as a monthly pension, or take a distribution out. Now, you might, if you're working, you've retired now?
I'm 60. It'll be, at least 5 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So when you go to retire, if you have a pension and you're telling me that you can take partial distribution or all out, and I don't know if you heard me earlier, quite often employers who have pension plans, defined benefit plans, are now offering employees an option. It's sometimes called a cash balance plan where you can either take it to another employer, you can roll it over to an IRA, an individual retirement account, or you can keep it as a pension and get a monthly benefit. So if they're telling you, Denise, hey, Denise, you can either take it all out, pay tax on it 100%, take some of it out. Here, I'm going to give you a $30,000 check and you're going to cash it and put it in your bank account. Or you can roll it over. So they might be telling you, as my example with PEESRS, you really want to understand this before you make any decisions. With the PEESRS, they might be saying, when they say you can take some of it out, they might mean roll some of it over to an IRA or keep some of it as a pension. That would be my first question. Or do they mean you could take a distribution and pay tax on it and have cash in your bank? Okay. Now, important in a pension lump sum question. So if they say to you, you can take a lump sum versus having a monthly pension, you want to find out what that benefit is. And guess what? It changes all the time because the lump sum benefit on a pension depends on your life expectancy, how much money you were making, and guess what? Interest rates. So interest rates have gone up quite a bit in recent months. When the interest rate that we use for various calculations as driven by, you know, the Fed, the IRS, when we have these interest rates to calculate the life expectancy and the life benefit of a pension, the smaller the interest rate, the bigger the lump sum benefit. The higher the interest rate, the lump sum comes down a little bit. So you're going to want to kind of understand all the different options that are going to be available to you. And then as you get closer to retirement, you ask for an illustration.
illustration.
You ask for an illustration. Say, I want to see an illustration. Because the other thing that happens is if you decide to take a pension, then they're going to say to you, do you want a single life, meaning only over your life expectancy, which means it's going to be a little bit bigger per month. If you have a spouse, do you want to, if you die tomorrow, do you want your spouse to carry on with your pension benefit? And do you want them to get 100% of what you were getting? Or do you want a joint, what they call it, a joint and survivor benefit, and it could be 100%, or when you die, your spouse might get 50%, your spouse might get 75%. So all of those kinds of decisions impact the monthly benefit that you're going to get. If you chose to take the pension and you said, give me the single life, and you're going to get that higher monthly benefit, and that looks really great. If you died the next day, it's gone. That whole pension benefit is gone. And I tell people, don't forget that as you've worked over the years, you have earned a bucket of money called that pension. It's a net present value. So you have to understand what that's worth to you. And that's where sometimes the lump sum option can come into play, because do I want that monthly benefit? As I said earlier, you might not have heard, if someone spends every penny they get, a monthly benefit might be a better option for you. But if you're someone who's very careful with your money, very good with your money, you do tax planning, you want to kind of, you know, give yourself some, you know, options in your tax life, maybe the lump sum would look better. Because the other thing that happens is if you die the next day, you do have that bucket of money that you can pass on to your spouse or your children. Because usually when you take a lump sum, you put it into an IRA, and then you're not paying any tax on it in that lump sum until you take it out. And you're
That's
not
when you take it out.
Okay. Yeah, when you're required to take it out. So let's pretend you're retiring today at 60 and you take the lump sum, and the lump sum's worth $250,000. You don't have to take any of it out. But you could take, because you're 60, Denise, you're old enough, you could take $30,000 out after you do that lump sum if you decide to. You could take $30,000 out, $50,000 out, $60,000 out, whatever you want. That's where you watch the tax brackets, and this is where you have to do some tax planning and kind of say, hey, but this year, you know, I worked a full year, I made $90,000, I'm retiring in November. Do I really want to take $30,000 out now when I'm in a high tax bracket, when January 1st I'm going to be retired and I'm not going to have any other money on my tax return? I might wait to do the $30,000 when I have less money on my tax return and I'm in a lower bracket. The idea is always to defer to lower tax brackets when you're taking money out.
And that's, it has to do with the percentage rates of the interest rates as well, correct?
When you get the lump sum, the okay. Lump sum calculation. But again, the lump sum can get rolled over into a IRA. And then you control when you take it out. If you take
it, that's when the taxes. Okay.
Yep. And then you coordinate with your other issues on your tax return. You know, when are you collect Social Security? Social Security, listen to the show last week. I talked about Social Security. Social Security, it gets included as taxable income depending on how much other income you have on your return. So maybe you're going to wait to collect Social Security, and maybe you'll take money out of this pension or this lump sum. Or maybe you'll collect Social Security and not take any money out of your lump sum that you've rolled over.
You have an option.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So be proactive. Make sure you understand it all. Put it on an Excel spreadsheet or a pad of paper or something like that so that you know what you're going to be dealing with and what your options are to maximize what fits for your life kind of decisions. So you want to look at your cash flow. You want to look at, do you have to provide for a beneficiary, a spouse, for your children? Are you good with money? Are you not good with money? Are you going to be able to make investment decisions? So there's a lot of decisions that kind of go into it, and it sounds overwhelming, but it's better to go through that decision process before you make this big decision than just going, oh, I can't deal with it, I'm just going to do ABC.
Thank you so much. I don't feel as worried about it. Is that the right word I'm
yep.
trying to say?
Yeah. That's good. I think it's really good for you to ask the question. I think it's good for you to pay attention to it. And I'm confident that take the bull by the horns and make sure that you understand it. So, and I have probably, there's probably podcasts of prior shows where I might have covered some of this. I know I've had Rod Young and Jackie Cornelius as guests in the past, and they covered retirement benefit options as well. So it helps to kind of get some education and then understand what fits for your situation. So I appreciate you coming live on air with me. It's so much more fun. And guess what? You helped me cover a lot of the material I wanted to cover. So it was a perfect question. Okay. Thank you, Denise. Have a good night.
You too, ma'am.
Thanks. Folks, we are at our last break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. I love talking to people. I love answering questions. So if you have any, again, 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert, and you're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. Questions can be submitted through the website, yourfinancialchoices.com, and you can call live, 610-758-8810. If you're not comfortable talking live, just give your question to Eric. He'll write it down and bring it in. So we've been talking about retirement benefit options. We've talked about pensions, and Denise just helped me illustrate the difference between a lump sum pension and or a pension and a lump sum pension, and that you can roll it over into an IRA and kind of control the cash flow a little bit. And then also I had wanted to talk a little bit about sometimes with pensions, if they don't offer a lump sum, or if you're someone who is more comfortable with that fixed income payment each month, there are still other options that you will have to consider, which are basically survivor options. So single life means you're just going to get that monthly benefit over your lifetime, and then it's gone as soon as you're gone, which could be the next day. There's survivor benefits typically with a spouse, and it could be 100%, 75%, 50% benefit. And your monthly benefit is adjusted based on what option you choose. And then we also have sometimes what's called term certain. And they may say, here's the monthly amount and a term certain for 10 years. So as long as you survive 10 years, you're going to get the benefit, or a survivor will get the benefit. But once you past 10 years then, and you've gone, then that benefit is gone. But if you live 30 years, you still get the benefit for 30 years. We have Alan on the line. We have Alan from Allentown. Hi, Alan. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
Good.
I want to take you to the illustration of the lump sum versus the annuity.
Okay.
The interest rate factors, the three tiers or range, I don't forget the word for that, that are set for those, are so drastically different, you know, as of May of 2022 versus where they were in November.
Right.
So the plan that available to me is still using the November of 2021 rates.
Mm-hmm.
To at least until November 1st or so, or November 30th, something like that. The change of those rates is so drastic from where they were that the change in the lump sum is worth almost 2.5 years of work.
Yeah. This is where it gets a little crazy, doesn't it? So then it's like, are you forced into retirement, or could you work a little longer till the interest rates come back down? Or you have to find out what interest rate factor they're going to use, because some employers will say, we use the most recent last quarter. So, and you're saying in your circumstances, it might be once a year, but some plans will say the prior last quarter. So if I retire in May, it might have been the December quarter, you know, but other times it could be the March quarter. I don't exactly know all the calculations of it. I just know that I really see the impact on the illustrations of the lump sum benefit when those interest rates go up. And in recent years, it's been incredible, the lump sum payouts. It's been incredible.
So you come to a decision point. How do you make that decision? You know, you could, obviously it's, you know, you can take your annuity, which is unaffected, or you can take the lump sum.
Well, I'm not sure the annuity is unaffected, though. I think the annuity is impacted by that interest rate as well.
It depends on the plan.
Right, right. So. So it is something that definitely needs to be factored in. And I go back to those other decisions, cash flow, survivor benefit, investment, you know, comfort in investment options and investing. Because if someone takes a lump sum and they put it in the bank, that might not have been such a great idea. You know, you have to understand that if I take this lump sum and invest it, what kind of rate of return do I need to get on it to provide that monthly benefit that I otherwise would have gotten? And if that that rate of return might have been 3%, your typical investing might get you, you know, 8%, then you might say, shoot, you know, with that lump sum, I think I could really, you know, make a difference here. But if you're someone who would put it in the bank and earn 1%, then the lump sum, and I can't make any investment recommendations. I'm just trying to give like general education about the decisions that go into the decision between a lump sum and the monthly amount. But it could help, you know, if you, because interest rates may be coming down a little, we don't know. So if you could defer retiring a year, would that make a difference? May or may not. I don't know. So yes, Alan, it is a tough decision. You have to, and some people might retire sooner, Alan, if they could lock into the lower rate that's going to apply to give them a bigger lump sum.
Yeah, well, that's it.
Right. But sometimes I think you don't always know what that rate is, and they may not tell you until you've made the decision.
But there are those who would say that the interest rates cannot come down to anywhere near where they were in November of 2021.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, at least, you know, that I've read.
Yeah. But I think it is you've demonstrated the difference or the effect, the impact that those interest rates can have on the decision. So I think I appreciate that. It is something worthwhile and worth understanding. So, okay. So thank you so much for calling in, Alan.
Thank you.
Okay. Take care. A good night. Bye. It really is fascinating stuff. It really, you know, I love the ending of my show when I say be proactive, not reactive, because you really, you know, need to kind of explore all these options ahead of time. And I know that things can get overwhelming. And I know that sometimes when people talk about taxes, they tell me they get overwhelmed. When they think about investments, they get overwhelmed. When we're talking about these decisions, it can be overwhelming. But, you know, you know, find someone who's gone through it, or talk to your advisor, or talk to your accountant, or talk to your lawyer, whomever it is that you go to for advice. Maybe HR could, you know, be equipped to kind of help you through the decision making. Whomever it is, kind of weigh these options that you might have, because you'll be better prepared for making a decision that's going to fit your circumstances. But it can make a difference. So I appreciate both Denise and Alan for calling with those questions and input. Now, we were talking about retirement benefit options. I've talked about the pension. I've talked about the 401ks, 403bs. Self-employed people, you may have a 401k yourself. Sometimes if a self-employed person has employees, they may not want to do a 401k because it may require them to put more money into an employee plan that they don't really have the funds to do. But with a self-employed plan, if you are self-employed with no employees, you can have a 401k, and you can put in a profit sharing piece, an employer portion. So you can really defer the income reporting on in a big way. It can be up to $61,000 for 2022. They cap the compensation calculation, but you can defer a lot of money. That's a deduction on your tax return against your income if though, it there are caps. So it's like, just think of it as the employee piece that I mentioned, and then about 20% of your profit. Those added together cannot be more than that overall cap. But this is where I have had people who are self-employed and employed. So they're employed with an employer, putting money into the 401k. Maybe they do the employee portion there to get that employer match, and they might be putting in that $20,500 or even $27,000 if they're over 50. And they might have a self-employed business on the side. Well, there you can do the profit sharing piece, that 20% of your profit. You can't double dip and put in the employee portion into both plans. That employee limit is across all the plans. But you have to remember the basic limit of $61,000 is across all the plans. So if your employer, where at your day job, is putting money in, you have to make sure that you're factoring that in as well for the overall amount. Now, what if you're not self-employed? What if you don't have a 401k? What if you don't have a 403b? Well, we do have something called individual retirement accounts, IRAs, and we have Roth IRAs. Individual retirement accounts, if you don't otherwise have another plan, you can put up to $6,000 in that. If you're 50 or older, you can do another $1,000. That's a deduction on your tax return. If you're married and your spouse also has a plan, then you have different kinds of income limits, and the income, you know, it's too much for me to cover in the next 2 minutes, but you just have to be aware that if you're there is a spouse and the spouse is a participant in a retirement plan, there are income limits on how much the other spouse can put in. If the other spouse is a non-working spouse, they may be able to put money in the IRA, even though they're not working, based on the income of the working spouse. But again, there's income limitations on that. IRAs give you a deduction. The Roth IRA, you don't get a deduction for. And the income limits are much higher, though. So more people can put money into a Roth, even if you're putting money into a plan at work. So understand that. There's individual accounts, and then there's the work accounts, the employer accounts, the qualified plans. Those have their own limits. But if your income is within certain ranges, you may be able to still do a deductible IRA or a Roth IRA. And again, to be able to contribute to the deductible IRA, if you're working or if a spouse is working, the income limitations are much lower. But the Roth IRA is fairly high. I know in 2021, it was married filing joint, $198,000 or less. You could definitely do the Roth. You have to have earnings, or the spouse has to have earnings to be eligible to contribute. Again, it's $6,000 and $1,000 extra if you're 50 or older. So for people who are looking to save for retirement, you can do it through work and or, depending on what kind of income limitations you have, and or also an IRA or a Roth IRA. Now, I did want to talk about, you know, where do we get the income in retirement? We talked about Social Security briefly. You have to earn credits. You have to pay into the system. You can get, you know, a retirement benefit at 62. I talked about all of that last week, so you can go back and listen to that show if you want. So Social Security could be an option for you. The longer you wait, the more benefit you'll have, because, you know, your life expectancy would be shorter then. You also have these pension plan options. But once you retire, if you're not ready for Social Security or you don't have a pension, you may take money out of your retirement account, your IRA. There's income tax on it when you take a distribution, depending on what income bracket you're in. If you're younger than age 55 and have terminated, you're going to have a 10% penalty. If you're under age 59 and a half and have not terminated employment by 55, then you would have a 10% penalty. So there's a 10% penalty on an early withdrawal from a retirement plan. So just keep that in mind, but make sure you're looking and understanding what kind of how you're going to get your paycheck when you retire. All right, folks, we covered a lot tonight. I really appreciate the calls this evening. It made it so much more fun for me. I get really charged up when I get callers, and I appreciate it. You could also send questions, again, through the website at yourfinancialchoices.com. I'm going to be out for a couple weeks. So next week, my friend Daniel Banks from Silvercrest Insurance, you've heard him talk about Medicare planning in the past, but next week, he's going to be the host, and he's going to have guests Jillian Berry and Kimberly Garrison from Lehigh Valley Aging in Place. I think they're going to have a lot to share, and it looks really interesting. So I'm really excited to have Dan step in for me for next week. They're not going to take questions live, so if you do have questions, you can send them through the Your Financial Choices, and I'll make sure I get them to him. But that'll be next week, and then the week after, I'm going to have a pre-recorded show. So we'll see you in a few weeks. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Pete. Thank you, Eric, for being here. And coming up next is Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices and have a great week.